Welcome this morning. I just want to praise God for another week and another day, and also want to praise God as we are celebrating Memorial Day here in the U.S. for those that have sacrificed their life, whether it was you have a family member that was a fallen soldier, or if you have been in that situation where you lost a loved one, for serving our country, for the freedom that we enjoy. I just want you to know that we love you and we appreciate you. And if you did serve or you have a family member that served in our military or our armed forces, I just want to thank you for that sacrifice as well. I know some of you have served, and I know some of you have family members that have served. And I don't take our freedom lightly, and I just appreciate so much what you've done. As I was studying early this morning, the Lord just kept bringing to my heart the word remember and remembrance, even more so than memorial. And I thought, well, that's got to have significance. And it tells us in the word that God remembered. He remembered several things, but the thing that he talks about most is the covenant that he created with us, that he's our covenant partners. And so not only did he ask us to remember, but he remembers. And as I was looking up the Hebrew and the Greek words, to me it was fascinating because it wasn't just about the past. It was about how can we keep this thought alive and learn from it so it influences our future. And so as we have Memorial Day and we are remembering those special people that have fought and given their life, their precious life for our freedom, I want it to be something that rings in our hearts, that it's not just something that we think about from the past, but we take this and we use this as an opportunity for the future to learn and to grow. And I know that here in San Antonio we've got lots of elections and things like that for our mayor, and we've had so many influxes of sin and sinful people that have been elected to office, and that they're making decisions against God. And our pastor was talking yesterday, and he said he passed a sign by a church one day this last week, and it said, "Without God, we're just one nation under." And he shared that yesterday. And it keeps ringing in my heart that we need God. And we need to remember those that have fought for those freedoms, the religious freedoms, the freedom to serve God, the freedom to be able to have this be a Christian country. So just from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. And I want to just go to the Lord in prayer before we actually start our study today. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for another incredible day. Lord, I thank you for these women that are on the call with us live today. Lord, you know how precious they are to my heart, how I love them so deeply. And Lord, I just pray that you would just meet their every need. Lord, I pray that today you would give Desi and her mom just the most magnificent day filled with memories of holding each other's hands, of hugging and looking into each other's eyes and just sharing from the heart. Lord, I would do anything to be able to do that with my mom, and I can't wait till I can be in heaven and be able to do that with her again. And Lord, I just pray for Luana, Lord, that you would just bless her as she has her 15th wedding anniversary. Lord, I just praise you that her marriage is strong and it is protected by you and your mighty warring angels. Lord, you know the desire of her heart, Lord, so I do pray that you would just be with her this morning. Be with her each day this week as she is gathering and gaining the boldness in spirit to speak to her husband about the desires of her heart. Lord, I pray that you would help her to be able to craft the words the way that you would have her craft them, and that she would have the confidence that you would speak in and through her. You tell us in Jeremiah that you would even allow us and give us the words to speak to the heads of nations, to the kings of nations. Lord, so help her speak to the king of her home, her husband, Lord. And Lord, we just honor you with everything that we say and do. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak through my mouth of clay. Give me supernatural recall of your word, Lord, and that it would touch hearts, that this would be a day that we'd walk away and we wouldn't be the same. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking this morning about a couple of different scriptures, and I just wanted to share them with you this morning. It tells us in Acts 4:13, it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And I thought, how awesome is that? And many times, I don't know about you guys, but I do know that, especially for Luana, we've had a couple of conversations around really wanting to have that boldness to speak. And we love the Lord so much that we just get so excited that we want to share and we want to make a huge impact for the kingdom. This is not just about building a business. This isn't about being an entrepreneur. This isn't about taking the vehicle of influence that God's given us to build things here on earth. It's about kingdom growth. It's about building the kingdom. And I know that. I get that. I love it. That's why I'm on the planet. I'm so just filled with the Holy Spirit and His power and His boldness that I can't help but have it exude from me constantly. And so I love that we can have this reference that we don't have to have special schooling, because it's not about our schooling, it's about our anointing, isn't it? Now, what had just happened here is Peter and John were walking in the streets, and there was a blind man, and he wanted to be healed, and they, through the name of Jesus, healed this man. Well, this upset the Sanhedrin, like they were always upset with the Christians, and they put them in jail overnight trying to figure out what in the world they could do and what would be a punishment that wouldn't cause a riot, because what had happened because of all of this from Pentecost, which we just went through over, what was it, yesterday, Pentecost, and they were so filled with the Holy Spirit that they had 3,000 men plus women and children become believers. And then they went out and they were walking down the street and they were healing. And John and Peter were healing still. So then there was another 2,000 people added. So there were a total of about 5,000 men plus women and children. And we know that back then there really wasn't birth control. So they probably had a lot of kids. We know that, so I'm thinking there's probably 10, 15, 20, 25,000 people possibly or more that were believers now. And so they thought we have to be really careful because we can't start a riot here because, you know, we're already kind of in trouble because they're saying that Jesus is alive. Nobody could find the body. And the Romans were still in power in Jerusalem. So they were really concerned. So they threw them in jail trying to figure out what to do with them. And they were sitting there, and this was what was recorded. It said, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And I have to just believe that the reason why they were so bold was because they knew Jesus was alive. They knew that everything that Jesus had spoke about was the truth. And then they had the infilling or that complete surrender and being filled completely with the Holy Spirit. So they were speaking in tongues. They were just on fire. And we have that same power today. But let's go on and see what it says. It says, for they could see they were ordinary men. So they weren't, you know, highfalutin people. They weren't people that were specially trained. No, they had just spent time with Jesus. And they said they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Wouldn't you love that if people looked at what you did yesterday or what you did today and they said, oh, I could tell that Becky, that person, they've been with Jesus. Look at how she lives her life. Look at how he lives his life. Look at his business. Look at her business. Look at the way she treats her neighbors. Look at the way she spends time with her family. She's been with Jesus. I can tell. She's got that special something. She's got that fire, that boldness, that excitement. That's what it is. How exciting, right? Well, let's look back what happened just a little bit before this, right? Because this is when I want to talk about Jesus' resurrection. If we go back to Matthew 28, it talks about his resurrection. And it says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was an earthquake. I love when there's suddenly in the Bible. When the Lord starts it with suddenly, I love that because you just know like something amazing just happened. You just feel the energy in that word, right? Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and he sat on it. I just thought that's so funny. It's like, well, did he need a rest? No, he wanted to wait and make sure he was there because, yes, he knew that Mary and the other Mary were coming. And his face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Can you imagine how, these are strong men. And they've seen a lot of gruesome things. They were at multiple crucifixions. They just saw the most horrific beatings and just awful brutality. They were afraid when they saw this angel. So it tells me that we've got incredible, mighty warring angels on our behalf. Then it says the angel spoke to the women and said, don't be afraid. Did you notice he didn't say to the soldiers, don't be afraid? But he knew their hearts. He knew them. And he said, don't be afraid. He said, I know you're looking for Jesus, the one that was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And then I'm sure he ushered him in, and then he said, and now go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Now remember what I've told you. How exciting. He said, you know what? Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. And he's going ahead of you because he wants to make sure that you see him, that the disciples see him. He's going to meet you there. So don't worry. He's going to meet you where I've told you to go. I want to encourage you with that if the Lord's told you to do your business or he's told you to do something, go. Jesus promises that he's going to meet you there. You're going to see him there and the thing that he's told you to do. Now, it goes on in verse 8 to say that the women ran quickly from the tomb. Now, listen to this. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. How many times have you been in the situation where you knew God called you to do something bigger and greater than you thought you could possibly do, and you knew it was God? You knew it was what Jesus wanted you to do. You had that peace that you knew it was the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we have fright and we have great joy at the same time, and we're filled with all these emotions. Isn't it exciting that God's called you to something so much bigger than what you're currently doing? And that sometimes it feels like we could be a little frightened because we're just uncertain for the most part. And did you know in our body that our body has a very hard time determining the difference between fright and great joy? The chemicals are almost the same. So to me, how exciting is that? The Lord even let us know that after he was risen, he had something he wanted us to do. He sent a messenger, and he said, I promise I'm going to meet you there. And then he also let us know it's okay if you feel a little frightened, but you should also feel some joy as well. So anyways, they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, okay, they were in process of doing what they were told to do, what Jesus had asked them to do. It says, Jesus met them and greeted them. So it was important that they obeyed, and obeyed immediately. And then guess what? In the process, Jesus met them. He didn't wait till they were all the way finished and then said, okay, let me look at the results. Okay, all right, yeah, that was good enough. All right, yeah. No, because they were in the middle of their obedience. He came and he said that he was there. And what did they do? They ran to him. They knew him immediately. And they grasped his feet and they worshiped him. Do you worship in the middle When you're on your way, in the middle of your task to complete what the Lord has asked you to do, do you take time to worship him? And then listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." So go tell others on how they can come and they can meet me. I've got something special for them. Isn't that what Jesus still asks us to do today? It then goes on to say about the report of the garden, how they wanted to lie and told their people to lie and things like that. But then it goes on in verse 16, and it says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him," listen to this, "they worshiped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples," listen to what he said, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore," okay, so he's saying basically, "I've been given all the authority in heaven and earth. I've completed what I was supposed to do. So now, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. I'm going to be with you even until the end of the age." God promises to be with us. Jesus promises to be with us even until the end of the age. So go and do what I've told you to do. And what did he say? He was very clear. Go and make disciples of all the nations. I've got the authority. I'm passing it on to you. I'm going to let you do more than what I said I could do or what I did here. I've given you the comforter. I've given you the Holy Spirit to give you the boldness, to give you the wisdom, to comfort, to teach, to give wisdom. That's some of the words of Holy Spirit, of his name and the meanings of those. Teach the new disciples and obey all the commands I've given you. And guess what? Don't worry. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be with you. I want to encourage you today to be that person, just like the disciples. You don't have to be anything but ordinary. And allow the Holy Spirit to indwell in every ounce of your being. He'll give you the boldness. Have people recognize that you've been with Jesus. Fill the Great Commission. And I love what Psalm 37:4 says, the Message version. I'm going to read the Message as well as the New Living Translation. It says, "Get insurance with God and do a good deed. Settle down and stick to your last. Keep company with God. Get in on the best." Don't we really want that? Isn't that what we want? We want in on the best. Psalm 37:4 New Living Translation says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart." Delight means to spend time with him, doesn't it? To dwell with him, to be in his presence. When's the last time you really took time just to soak and be in his presence, to trust him and to get to know him? What could be better than to spend that time with him? 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials are going to show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested, just like fire tests and purifies the gold. Though your faith is far more precious than just gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it'll bring you so much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." So I want you to take heart. I want you to know that if you're in a trial right now, Jesus said they would come. But he also, what did he tell you? He'd be with you to the end of the age. That he would give you the boldness. That you might be frightened and you might be filled with joy. But rush ahead. Do what I've told you to do, because there's going to be a great reward. Do what I've told you to do. Go and make disciples. Tell everybody about me. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples by teaching them how to obey what I've given you in my word and what I've taught you. And you don't have to be anything special. You don't need additional education. You need to spend time with me. Get to know me. Delight in me. That's your insurance policy. And then remember the covenant that I've made with you. I've given you the same authority. I've given you the same power. You're going to do greater things than I've been able to do because I'm sending the Comforter to be with you. You've got Holy Spirit. And we had that remembrance just yesterday with Pentecost Sunday. Any sacrifice that you've been asked to make is going to pale in comparison to eternity. I promise you. If Jesus says to go, or to do, or he says so, isn't that enough to have you act on what he says? I hope so. Remember, it's not about building you. It's not about building your business. It's not about where you're going to take your influence. It's about spending time with Jesus and obeying. He's given you that influence. He's given you that favor. He's given you the boldness already. He's built your faith. Now's the time. Now's the time. Act quickly. Rush, just like he told the Marys. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for another day and the reminder of your word, the reminder of your covenant. Lord, help us to be obedient. And if we've not been obedient, to take immediate action and to rush into sharing the gospel with so much excitement, delighting in you, spending time with you, taking what you've given us already, just as ordinary men and women. Lord, we ask forgiveness if we've not been faithful for that and with that. Lord, we thank you that we are filled from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, through our mind, our will, our emotions, through our physical man, through our soul, and through our spirit man, with the Holy Spirit, that we have Holy Spirit fire, boldness, joy, and even in times of uncertainty or fear, that we press through those trials and be refined as our faith grows because we know it's so much more precious to you than even gold. Help us to be obedient, to get back on track, to be filled and to do immediately, rushing with great excitement to tell others about you, to make disciples. Lord, we praise you. We thank you that we have this opportunity. And Lord, I pray a blessing over the United States of America. Lord, my heart just breaks, and I'm sure yours does too, when you see all the evil, the turning away from your word. Lord, we know that you love the sinners, but you hate this sin. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. We claim that this is one nation under God, and that those that have died to protect its freedoms, to keep it as one nation under God, that they would not have given their life in vain. Jesus, we know you did not give your life in vain and that you want your kingdom here on earth as you do in heaven. Help us to do our part. Help us to be bold, to be filled with love and compassion like you are, but to have righteous anger, to vote, to take back the authority that you've given us, that you gave your life for, that you went to hell to take the keys of hell from Satan and to give us victory and power and authority here on earth. Help us to be faithful with that. We claim this as one nation. We rebuke the enemy and command right now you leave this nation, that you leave each state, that you leave each county, that you leave each city, township, village, each home, and each life. In Jesus' name, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for spending this holiday with me this morning, starting your week, remembering those that have fallen, and spending time with Jesus. I'm going to encourage you, if you've got a few extra minutes today, to sneak away, find a quiet place, and spend some time with Jesus so that, just like the disciples in Acts 4, people will look at you and say, she's been with Jesus. He's been with Jesus. Have a great week. Know that I'm praying for you. I love you, and thank you for spending this time with me this week. I'll be with you again next week. Take care. God bless you. Bye-bye.